The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chest stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it. She's running her mouth. Whether or not Mark Chmura is a deep thinker, she's too excited. Her is debatable. Whether or not Mark Chmura is gullible is not. Chew, what did your wife tell you y'all were doing this weekend?
Going to see Depeche Mode.
What? Depeche Mode, the band?
And this guy, well, it was a cover band. She failed to tell me that. So it was supposed to be The Cure opening up for Depeche Mode. Right? So then we had
Wait. What year is it?
It's 2024.
I just wanted to make sure. Because The Cure opening for Depeche Mode sounds like something I would have seen in the 80s.
Yes. Which, the group we went out with, we all grew up, went to high school in the 80s.
Okay.
And then we had the discussion, shouldn't Depeche Mode be opening for The Cure?
That's a very good conversation.
So then, listen to this twist. So I find out, cover band, it's fine, no big deal. The venue was cool, it was cool. I sent you guys a video. So we walk in about halfway through The Cure set, right? So we get in there, we get to our table, and the guy, the lead singer, looks like he's strung out. Strung. Hair a mess. Blah, you know, just like, and you know The Cure, some of The Cure music.
Well, isn't Joshy? Robert Smith, the lead singer of The Cure, isn't his hair pretty
quite disheveled,
and he's got the eye makeup.
Uh-huh. But this was, he was leaning into it, you know, clearly looked like he's strung. So they were fine. They were fine. So then, you know, obviously there's a little intermission because the Depeche Mode has to set up their band. So Depeche Mode starts, they're about three songs in, and my investigative wife leans over and goes, this is the same band. It's the same band.
Wait, a minute. Are you telling me this one band double booked as two separate bands?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, and she had video because it was one of those, this is so bad, it's so good. So she went back and looked at the video, and sure as sugar.
Same
it
guy.
It was the same band. Same guy, same guitar, same drums, same everything. They were just all costumed up as The Cure.
I assume that the hope is that y'all are so...
I told the waitress, I said I want $8 of my $10 ticket back.
Wait a minute.
I felt defrauded.
Sure, but that's kind of brilliant, right? Like, for them.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
you got to book an opening act. And you got to book a, you know, main act. And if you can pull off double duty and you can collect the payment for both.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joshy. It feels like kind of a smart business plan.
Did they change outfits?
Yes. Totally.
I love that.
Yes.
And did the...
I felt ripped off, though. Hold on. I felt ripped off.
Yeah.
I paid $10 to see two bands, and I saw one.
No, you saw one band doing two acts.
Yes. That's fraud.
What would you have paid to see the one band do the two musical acts?
Well, I think they should have paid us.
That's not how this works.
But it was one of those things. It was so bad, it was so good.
I want to go back to, though, this idea that your wife told you that it was Depeche Mode, and you bought that hook, line, and sinker, no investigating, no curiosity, no, like, wait a minute, Depeche Mode, would they be touring? Are they still, and now they do still tour, I want to be clear, they do still tour. They're just not actively touring, according to the old Google machine. But you just were like, oh, well, if she says we're going to see Depeche Mode, we must be going to see the Depeche Mode and not like
the venue, Depeche Mood. The venue was probably half the size as the Pabst Theater.
Okay.
So it felt right. It felt kind of right. Because if Depeche Mode was to play in Milwaukee, where would they play?
Amphitheater?
With the Cure, though. With the Cure.
The Cure.
I would think Pabst Theater, right? So that's why it didn't seem strange to me.
I don't know. Like, I feel like they're very popular. Am I overestimating the popularity of Depeche Mode, Joshy?
I'm probably not the right person to ask. That act feels like a Pottawatomie venue concert. Because usually, and not to get too specific here, but the crowds that older people would like, that's generally the venue for them.
And how big is that?
It's a pretty, like, they have pretty big acts there. It's just, it seems to fit that clientele. Like, I don't know if they could do the Riverside, which I was at on Thursday.
We're going to get into that. We're going to get to that.
I don't know if they go quite that big. The amphitheater might be
so
cheap.
So it felt right. Would it feel right? It felt kind of right.
You're the
only person that
happens to, by the way. Yeah. There's no other human being in the history of the world, in the history of people I know, who are showing up to an act thinking that they're seeing the real one and seeing a cover band. Yes. Like, this doesn't happen to anyone else, big guy. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, because I don't investigate that much. Like, I would have never known it was the same band up there. I would have never known that The Cure and Depeche Mode were the same band.
I have a question, because I texted you, because I saw tweets about this, and I believe people were texting in that they weren't touring. Did you know before my text that it wasn't actually, like, did I ruin the whole bit for Angie?
Yes, but I was too far into it, so I couldn't. Like, if she said a cover band for this, I'm like, eh.
That's got to be it. That's got to be why she said that it was the real band.
Yeah.
Because she knew there was no way you were showing up for a cover band of The Cure and Depeche Mode.
1,000, leave it vague enough. See, she never technically said it was or wasn't a cover band. Do you think you would have noticed, had that concert played out and she never told you beforehand it was a cover band, do you think you would have been the wiser?
Yeah. I would have never known. I would have said, God, Depeche Mode's terrible. I'll tell you why, because we went to another venue for her birthday, I think, last year, and went and saw Queensryche. And we had this discussion last year, right?
Yep, you did.
How many original members have to be in the band in order to call it Queensryche? Is one enough?
No, it's a percentage, right? So how many members of the band are there in Queensryche? 5, 6, I don't know.
Four, I think.
So I think you got to
only one was original.
I think you got to have
Was it the lead singer?
It's interesting.
No,
Josh
no, it was the drummer.
Weighted.
Yeah, I think
it's
drummer. It does get weighted when it's like the front man. Especially, there's some bands where it's like a band is just one person, basically. That's what everyone knows. Obviously, you can get into the... But like, I think you probably need multiple for it to still be considered.
Like Dave Matthews Band is tough to sell if Dave Matthews isn't up there, you know, tapping his feet around with the guitar strumming. And Hootie and the Blowfish is a tough sell if you don't have Darius Rucker up there in front saying, hold my hand. Like, that's a hard one.
And many bands, like, go through a lot of changes to the auxiliary members. Like, a lot of them throughout the course of their tenure will have four different drummers just because they're older.
Drummer is the most obscure, though. I mean, I know that there are very famous drummers, Dave Grohl. There are, you know, there are guys out there that you can name, but I don't think drummer counts as much as, like you're saying, a front-facing member of the band.
Right.
So it'd be like Counting Crows. If Adam Duritz isn't up there for Counting Crows, that's a tough sell. Yes. I don't even think I could pick a single other member of Counting Crows out of a group. If they were in front of me. So a couple of things I'm real, real fascinated by. One, the fact that the one band played the two acts.
It's heady play.
Yes.
So let's put
Would that bother you guys? Would that bother you?
I don't. It depends on how good they were. Were they good? Did you have a good time?
No, they were horrible. Which made it great.
Wait a minute. You have a scale of, I need to understand
this. Yes.
So it's either great, the show has to be great, or it has to be so bad that it's great.
Yes.
You can't sit in
like if it's down the middle, then I'm not interested. You know, it's just, but it was so bad, it was so good. And then you add the fact that they played both sets, even made it better.
I actually really like that. Like, that would have elevated it for me. If I was, like, at a six, yeah, and then I found out Eureka, it's the same band, yeah, playing twice, now I'm at an eight. Now I'm like, oh, man.
But when the lead singer played The Cure, I mean, the singing was terrible, but, I mean, the fact that he was looking so strung out, we were like, God, is this guy going to even make it through the set? But it was really a scam because he was trying to take this character so far out of it. So when he came back as Depeche Mode, to be like, you'd have no idea. My wife is nuts.
Oh, that she was like, able to identify that?
Why would you be looking for that? Yeah.
Well, women are notoriously good observers. We notice all the things. You should know this by now, Chu. You've been married for a very long time.
I take that back. Yes.
We notice all. Your wife counts the Viagra. She notices things.
Yes. Yeah, good point. Very good point.
Joshy,
but it was great.
What are we going to put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll off of this one? I got a lot of things happening here in my brain, but maybe you can streamline it for me.
I was just going to say, does Chewy have a legitimate gripe with The Cure and Depeche Mode cover bands being just one band?
That changed costumes.
Yes, you gotta just changed
that
outfits.
That changed costumes during the intermission.
Maybe, the funny thing is, selling the disheveledness of the lead singer of The Cure gave you enough plausible deniability that you had to go back and reference Instant Replay, that it wasn't immediately obvious.
And I think The Cure was actually better than Depeche Mode. So he sold it better as The Cure.
Yeah.
I mean, the singing was horrible, you know, both bands, but it was just like, it was entertaining.
Going into it, Chu, did you have a preference for the two bands, like hierarchy? Like, I'm more of a Cure fan than I am a Depeche Mode fan. So I would have been looking forward to the Cure portion of the program more than this other part of the show.
I think more people would know music from The Cure than they would from Depeche Mode.
So you were saying that the Depeche Mode should have opened for The Cure?
Yes. But I didn't know The Cure was going to be there. I thought it was just standalone Depeche Mode. Because we came in and The Cure, I'm like, this isn't Depeche Mode. They're like, oh, I forgot to tell you that The Cure is opening up for him.
Yeah, she didn't forget
anything.
Which sparked
the conversation of, shouldn't it be the other way around?
Yeah, that is a good poll as well. Who should open if the two acts are playing together? All right, well, it sounds like you had a good time. Shockingly, Chu, that was not the only development from your weekend that got our eyebrows raised. We will get into the other thing this weekend that you sent us. That when we reminded you of it this morning on the production call, you said, what? Who said that? What are you talking about?
Oh, so I'm the guy. I had no idea. I'm not going to go back and look at my text, the text chain either.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
I want to see how this plays out.
Don't ruin it for the rest of us. Lots of stuff to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe is out all week, so Chew and I will be holding down the fort, hanging out with Joshy and producer Will back there. Hey, Will, how's it going? Good wave. Yep, that's fine. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Apparently, the Packers, the rest of the season, not a lot can change for the seeding in the NFC. You needed the Vikings to lose yesterday. You sort of needed Seattle to lose. Neither of those two things happened. So they're sort of locked into where they are. How should the Packers handle and address the rest of the season? We will get into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's got enough, it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Chewy, Jen, Joshy, and intern Will.
I just love him clearing his throat into the microphone.
Oh, you
I didn't think it was on yet.
You knew we were talking about you there, huh? Perfect. Chew, what did you think of the NFL weekend? Yeah. Do you watch the NFL weekend and like see how things are shaking out and how they'll benefit the Packers? Or do you just sort of like pick and choose, cherry pick your way through the weekend?
I eyeballed it. I didn't really dive into one particular game, but I did watch Minnesota. I watched Philly. I watched Seattle. Minnesota's better than you think. Minnesota's better than Green Bay. Philly's better than Green Bay. This is not going to be a fun week. I have bad juju about this week. I really do. Because everyone thinks that Seattle's just a 500 team. They're better than that. Their offense is in the top 10. This is probably the toughest place to play. Seattle knows that they're not winning the Super Bowl, but they know that this is a big step for them in the progression on how to get back there. I just don't feel good about this week. I don't. It's huge letdown. It's the late game, obviously, right?
Yeah, it's the night game.
Do you guys feel good about it?
I would have felt better if Zach Charbonnet hadn't chewed up the yardage the way that he did in absence of Kenneth Walker. When I saw Kenneth Walker was out, I was like, okay, hopefully there's a drop-off or maybe there'll be a drop-off, and there was none. And while we have talked about this, the Packers have been better against the run this year than they have in past seasons. I haven't checked this week's standings after all the games went final yesterday to see where they rank, but they were in the top 10 headed into last week's game against the Lions. That makes me a little nervous against the Seattle Seahawks. Chewy, your thing is more of letdown game, travel, and now the Packers really having nothing to play for because the division is locked up, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's mainly it. That's mainly it. I don't know. It just has every makings of a letdown game. And I, like I said, I just do not feel great. Are you guys there with me? Did you watch Minnesota yesterday?
I didn't see any of the Minnesota game except for the score. But it sounds like, based on what I read, is Sam Darnold had a hell of a day. And you just said the Vikings are better than the Packers. Can you explain that to me? In what way?
Their two receivers are better than anything they have. They got a good tight end. Darnold's, this whole thing of, Darnold's not going to have great games, but I think he's found a home there. Josh, you have to admit he played unbelievable yesterday. And say whatever you want against Atlanta, and Atlanta is still potentially a playoff team. No, they're not very good.
I mean, Kirk hasn't.
But that was a beatdown.
Kirk hasn't like thrown a. He has like 8 interceptions to 0 touchdowns his past like 5 games. Like he's very bad.
No, I know, but we can't keep beating up Minnesota and saying, "Oh, Green Bay." They're fine.
I pulled up the box score from the Green Bay Packers Vikings game from earlier this season. If Jordan Love doesn't throw 3 interceptions, guys, do they win that game?
Yes.
Yeah. And then that's with Sam Darnold. Yes. But I guess I am looking towards a Jordan Love for the second half of the season that minimizes those turnovers. I am looking forward to a Jordan Love that does not throw 3 interceptions against the Vikings. So Sam Darnold could have the same performance and maybe a little bit better because he's gotten better as the season has gone on. But I still think that if Jordan doesn't throw those interceptions, this is a whole different situation we're talking about. We're going to have the conversation as the show goes on about the wide receivers for the Packers. It's tough for me to go apples to apples with the way that the Vikings use their wide receivers and the way that the Packers use their wide receivers. But we'll have that conversation a little bit later in the show. So you got bad juju headed into this game against Seattle. I don't yet. I don't feel bad about the game. I believe the Packers are favored by 2.5.
Yes.
I do think travel is a real thing. And Chew, you could speak to it more than I can. Having done it, obviously, as a player, I do think you have to. Prep yourself mentally differently when you're making these types of road trips. Do you?
Yeah, I would think. Well, I don't know what kind of when it comes to the yelling department, what kind of coach LaFleur is, but I can tell you this: in our day, if we lost a tough game like that, Holmgren would smell a letdown, and this would not be a fun week of work. This week of work would be hell. All the way up until game time. We'd be getting yelled at. So, and you don't think that being the underdog is going to motivate Seattle a little bit?
I guess
are they in the lead in the West?
Yes.
So I think the thing that I'm most interested in, honestly, is this idea that that nothing will really change. I mean, could there be some percentage points as far as playoff probability? Sure. We saw the Packers had a 99% chance to make the playoff headed into this weekend's games, and now it's a 98% chance. So there might be these little shifts. But for the most part, the Packers are sort of locked into the spot that they're in. They will be a wild card team in the NFC, and they will go on the road for any sort of playoff run. That, I think, Chu, is what I am more interested in understanding. The mindset of a team when nothing you really do in the back half of the season, the last few games of the season, affects your seeding. Can you take me inside the mind of a team facing that?
Yeah, I don't think I don't like it because there's really, like you said, nothing to play for. Now, obviously, you do not want the 7 seed, right? The 7 seed probably means that you're going to Philly right out of the gate. I mean, you want to go to Seattle or you want to go to Tampa Bay would be my guess. 7 seed or no. And I'm just looking at Washington's final game. So they have the Saints. You would think they would win that. Then the Eagles, you would think they would probably lose that, beat the Falcons, and then beat the Cowboys. Right? So it's going to come down, I see, with Green Bay, two potential losses. I could see them losing to Seattle, and I can see them losing to Minnesota. So that would leave the two tied at the end of the day. I don't know how the tiebreaker would work out. How does it work for you're in the NFC, Joshy, but you're in different conferences when it comes to tiebreakers? Common opponent?
Different divisions? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
You're talking about like Seattle and the Lions?
No, I'm talking Green Bay and Washington. Green Bay, Washington. So Washington is behind one game to the Packers. I see one loss, one potential loss out of their last four. I see two potential losses out of Green Bay's last four. They both finish 10-7?
I'm guessing it's common opponent, but it could also be...
Or 11-6?
Joshy, I assume you're Googling it right now, checking to see what the tiebreaker situation is.
Yeah.
Because they didn't play head-to-head.
It's hard to figure out here because there's about 40,000 different things to look into. So I got to do deeper digging.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably like how's your record within the conference. What I would imagine is the next tiebreaker. If it's not like common opponents.
It wouldn't be common opponents.
Well, he's checking. Josh? He's looking. You put him on the spot, he's working his way through it.
There's literally hundreds of
right
entries
now. They both played the Cardinals, they both won. Did they play the Panthers? Doesn't matter, they both won. Beat the Bears, both of them. They both lost to the Eagles. So I don't know. But I can tell you this. You don't want to go to Philly right out of the gate.
So if two different divisions, they're tied, you would go head-to-head, best one-loss tied percentage in games played within the conference, best one-loss tied percentage in common games, strength of victory in all games, strength of schedule in all games, best combined ranking. So it goes within conference
record first.
Yes.
And then it goes to...
Common games.
Common opponents.
Yes.
Okay. Does that help you?
Yeah, so these two games against NFC opponents are, you know, Minnesota and Seattle are, I would think, would be huge.
So that's what you would focus on. That's what you're saying. You would focus on, we don't want to be the 7 seed. The more games we win, the more likely we can lock up the 5 seed, and the 5 seed puts us in a better spot to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, because as a coach, you don't want your players thinking, we're a wild card team. We're not playing. You know what I mean? You just kind of go out flat at times. There's still a lot of juice to play for.
100%. And I'm just saying, like, human nature, right? Human nature is knowing now that the division cannot be won. I believe I saw less than 1%. Does that seem about right, guys? Less than 1% chance for the Packers to win the division. I think the Vikings still have a shot at it.
Correct.
So how do you overcome that human nature, which is we're still playing, we still have a chance to win the Super Bowl, we'd have to do it, our road is a little tougher than we would have liked it to be. Just talk me through that, overcoming the human nature of taking your foot off the gas a little bit, looking at the Seattle game, recognizing all the things you mentioned, potential letdown game because you're coming off of the Lions loss, the travel out to Seattle, the fact that you cannot win the division. Like, talk me through, Chu, as a former NFL player, the pep talk you're giving yourself headed into this game against Seattle.
Well, that's what we're going to see, what kind of leadership they have in this locker room. You know, because like you said, all the things you listed off there are real things. And then you go from playing on Thursday night where the whole world is watching to, I don't know if this is a primetime game, but you know that as a player, like, all right, we're just another afternoon game. So there's juice that goes into that. You have to fight it, you know? It's like the Jets. The Jets, which is, I didn't realize this, they're now eliminated from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. How the hell do you get up for your next game then?
Can't believe we didn't play the celebration sounder there, Josh.
Right?
Chewy, I don't want to take anything away from you here, but I think it's also important to mention this is unprecedented for a team to be as good as the Packers are with their record and totally dead in the division. The Vikings and the Lions have set themselves so far ahead.
With a month left to play.
Right. It rarely ever are three teams this good within the same division in the NFL. So, like, you kind of have to get creative if you're Matt LaFleur here, because you are still playing for stakes, and you could sell the, hey, we can ruin the Vikings' chances. We can make it very difficult on the Seahawks. We can make them not want to play us another time. Like, you kind of have to dive deep, because it's not as simple as, you know, like it would normally be. Like, we're still alive here for the division.
So the last thing I will ask you, Chu, before we take a break here is, how do you handle scheme? How do you handle plays? How do you handle, like, if you want to save some of your stuff and you want to save, I don't know, certain packages, certain personnel packages, do you not show them then over the next few weeks? Do you kind of go status quo in these games? And, like, you do what you got to do to win the games, obviously, because wins create momentum. It is better than the alternative. But is there any part of you that goes a little more vanilla, knowing you're going to need to go into your bag of tricks to beat some of these teams in a postseason run?
Yeah, there is that danger, because there is a chance that you play Seattle again. But, I mean, you still have to win this game. You know, because like I said a second ago, there is a huge difference between going to Tampa Bay and going to Philadelphia. That's huge. That should be enough to play for already. But you have a young team. We're at that point in the season where young guys run into a wall. I mean, Josh, you brought it up in the production meeting. Why did Jaden Reed only play 25 plays? Is that correct? Like, why?
That is correct.
Like, why? I'm
what a tease by Mark Chmura, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about that as the show goes on.
But, Jen, I was looking, because I don't think this not having a number one, I don't think it's a good thing, because you look at Justin Jefferson, so far, he's at like 80 catches already. He's so far out in front. Amon St. Brown, same thing, way out in front. Now, Philly, they have two number ones. Devontae and Brown have.
Do you want to have the wide receiver conversation right now, Chu, or do you want to hold it for a little later in the show?
I'm just kind of setting it up because I did a little work before the show, and I just, you know, I'm looking for a little pat on the back.
I love that. Here is your virtual pat on the back for the research.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let's hold on to it. Let's talk about it when we get to the wide receiver segment, because I do think that there is something brewing, something interesting brewing with the Packers wide receiver situation. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It's a complete sports betting paradise, state-of-the-art venue with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, a VIP deck, and the broadcast booth where we do the weekly wager each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. They've really got it figured out. If you haven't been out there yet, what are you waiting for? It is the perfect time to start betting on your favorite teams. Bet above the rest, only at Pottawatomie.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right about anything.
Ed Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size.
It's just
what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Packers and the Detroit Lions continues to heat up. Did you guys see how Reed got roasted this past week by Jameson Williams? Jameson Williams commenting about how he didn't even realize that Jaden Reed had gone to the game in Detroit on Thursday night because of the numbers he posted. 0 receptions for 0 yards, which got us thinking, what's going on with Jaden Reed? What's going on with the way that these snaps are shaking out? Is he fallen out of favor with the coaches, with the people who are drawing up the plays and drawing up the way that they're going to distribute the ball? It's very unusual, too, because at the beginning of the season, we thought that Jaden Reed had potential, albeit his smaller size and mostly being a slot receiver, to be the number one guy. He makes incredible plays out there. But there are some knocks on him. Joshy, you said the one knock that you noticed watching him this season is what?
Jaden Reed struggles against man coverage. All teams who prefer that style versus a zone, Jaden Reed has seen precipitous declines in his production. And I think it's largely in part not being able to get off the line. And that's why he was working with Dontavian Wicks on route running and getting open, because he relies on finding the soft parts of zones as instead of just simply beating the man in front of him.
Is he a gadget player? And what I mean by that, is he a jet sweep guy? It's like you said, Josh, he's not real good against man, so they got to kind of put him together like a puzzle where Devontae, who's a Hall of Famer, had no weaknesses. I'm starting to fall out of favor with this everyone is the same kind of receiver.
I don't think gadget is fair, because gadget to me is like more of a guy that only relies on end-arounds and screens. Like, a guy like Jaden Reed can win downfield, and he oftentimes plays bigger than he actually is when he is, like, given contested catch situations. It's just, I mean, very clearly, teams are planning to not get beat by Jaden Reed. Like, that's part of the game plan. And in his second year, is it surprising to see a young guy maybe struggle when there's extra attention paid to him? I don't think it's that crazy. I think that means Jaden Reed has to improve, has to keep getting better. And maybe he's hit that second-year wall a little bit, but I'm not going to say he's a gadget player.
Yeah, here's what I'm worried about, too. I'm worried about not trusting my eyes. I watched Jaden Reed, watched him in college, obviously watched him for the last few seasons with the Packers. I think he's a star. I understand that he's not, like, the biggest guy. I understand he's not, like, an A.J. Green. I understand that he isn't going to go out there and out-physical the guy across the line from him. But man, is he going to make some moves? And man, if he gets in some open space, is he going to be a threat every time to find the end zone? And I just can't imagine not having a premium spot for him in your play calling every week. Now, I understand. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. Having a bunch of guys who are good is going to mean that some days guys don't get any targets. And we were complimenting Christian Watson a few weeks ago for handling not being a part of the game plan well. Right? Oh, here's a guy, he could complain. Here's a guy who could absolutely, you know, become disgruntled based on how he's been used. But we were like, good job, good on you, Christian Watson. You know, you weren't a part of the game plan, but you have handled your business and you have been a good teammate, a good soldier. Do we need to just consider that for Jaden Reed this past week and let Matt LaFleur cook? He'll be a part of the offense. He'll be a part of the game plan going forward. It just wasn't his week. Is it as simple as that, Chu?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's a number two at best right now. He's not a one. And if you look at there's only one guy out there that is trending towards potentially being a star. One guy. One. Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft. That's it. Jaden Reed, I think, regressed from last year. Christian Watson has regressed. Dobbs has regressed. Wicks has plateaued, if you don't want to say regressed. They've all plateaued. No one jumped out in front. Josh?
Well, Jaden Reed had jumped out in front, and we, for a few weeks into the season, were saying, oh, the number one wide receiver was just Jaden Reed all along. And he had performances to start that were very clearly obvious. I think Christian Watson has shown signs of improvement in that he's not just winning based purely on speed within like within his routes and within his catches. But they're all kind of in the meaty middle, and at best you're looking at a bunch of, you know, wide receiver twos right now, which I think is an issue. Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. I'll give you some wide receiver twos. Who's better, Jaden Reed or Addison?
Addison.
Who's better, Jameson Williamson or Jaden Reed?
You could say Jameson.
I mean, see what I'm saying, you know? I mean, I think we all thought, aren't even going back to training camp, like, yeah, Jameson was. I don't think Addison was he?
I'm pretty sure he was as well. Yeah.
He was?
So I just want to do some housekeeping here. Jameson Williams.
Yes.
Not son. And I believe I said A.J. Green, and I meant A.J. Brown. So we are just all over the place with the names.
There's another one. Who's the second receiver there in Philly?
Devonta Smith.
Is he better than Jaden Reed?
Yeah.
I mean, is this what they are? Because like I said, we all expect someone to... We didn't think all of them were going to... The cream rise to the top. But there ain't no cream. And it certainly ain't at the top. I think the potential... Do you guys agree with me, though? The potential star is Tucker Kraft?
I think he already is a star.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's signed, sealed, and delivered. That guy is...
Okay.
Is the... He is going to be the stalwart at that position, and if you get anything out of Luke Musgrave at this point, you're just happy with it. The one star that I'm still believing the potential is Dontayvion Wicks. He gets open at the highest rate in the NFL still.
A lot of balls.
Sure.
He did. Josh, he caught 4 out of 5 the last time he was out there, though.
So, Chu, how would you use Jaden Reed? That's, I think, what we're trying to nail down here. Because it felt like last week he was not being used effectively. Last week it felt like he was...
Not at all.
Correct, yes. And I do agree that there will be times when guys have a light load. There will be times when guys are just not featured as part of the game plan. I don't understand why a guy like Jaden Reed wouldn't be, given how dynamic, given what a difference maker he has been at times. And it's not even at times. I don't want to make it seem like it's sporadic. I think that when he is targeted, he makes plays, especially downfield. I don't love all the backfield stuff for him. I don't love all of that, but I know it's a part of the offense that Matt LaFleur runs.
I look at it like this, Jen. In order for them to go anywhere, the offense has to play much better. The defense is what it is. The defense is always going to give up points in the 20s, sometimes in the 30s, if they're playing a good team.
They're averaging 30 points per game since the bye, Chu.
No, I know that. Who? You're saying Detroit?
The Packers.
I know, but look at the stats. Go to the stat sheet. Go to the stat sheet. It just doesn't... Like, if you gave me the stat sheet before the game, I would say Detroit won by 14. 298 offense. For us, for a good offensive performance, Jen, a good offensive performance for a game is 350 yards. That is good. That's what you should get if you are a good offense. A great offense gets 400 yards.
I think the issue in that game came down to the first three possessions. The issue for the Packers in the game against the Lions was the first three possessions. Joshie, what'd they go?
I believe it was 3 and out. Well, I don't remember.
It was like punt.
Yeah.
Maybe field goal or something like
fumble
that. I got to go
Christian
back.
Watson.
Fumble. Thank you. Yes. Christian Watson fumble.
There's important context here that we need to remember. Jaden Reed wasn't as large a part of the game plan because the Lions were weak in their defensive front. They had so many injuries that they went a little bit bigger more often. Jaden Reed, not as good of a blocker as Dontayvion Wicks and Christian Watson. That's mostly because of his size limitations. Like, the Packers being efficient on offense, it sounds like you're trying to make it a bad thing for them, Chewy, but Josh Jacobs is a huge part of the offense. They get short fields and they convert on it, and then they're liable to rip off a 50-yard pass at any given moment. Like,
yeah, but in order to play that kind of game where you go 50-run, 50-pass, right? you're not going to beat an explosive offense. You're not going to beat Detroit, you know? You're not going to beat Philly. I just want to see them do – you know what I want to see them do? I want to see them do what Minnesota did to Atlanta yesterday and say whatever you want, you know, about Kirk Cousins and all that. They put up 42. That was an ass-kicking, right? The defense is going to be what it is. I just don't
– Right, but you're asking
– You can – hold on, Joshy. What I'm saying is you can run this kind of offense – with a 10th-ranked defense, right? But these possessions, like when you play a team like Detroit, man, you got to score on a lot of possessions.
Yeah, I agree. But the problem I see here is, like, you're asking the Packers to be something they're clearly not.
Yeah, they I know. Why aren't they? But why are they not? Why are they not?
Because the wide receivers haven't as merged.
Thank you.
Because Jordan Love for the first half of the season didn't play up to his potential.
Was injured?
Yes. So, like, there's a bunch of mitigating factors. Also, Josh Jacobs is just a flat-out star. So the less touches he's getting, you would think is a downgrade.
It's like what we say on College Game Day, guys, okay? Are you taking the ball out of Reese Davis's hands? Right? Like, you could. No, yeah. You could have other people handle stuff, or you could just let him cook. And that's why Reese Davis handles a three-hour show. Right? You don't got a bunch of other people out there picking up segments. You don't got a bunch of other people out there handling those things because you know you're going to get. And that's how Josh Jacobs is for this Green Bay Packers team, right?
Well, you know what would be equally as entertaining? Jen?
Tell me.
If you gave the keys to Lee Corso.
Okay. We're pivoting off.
I mean, that's kind of Depeche Mode cure.
Yeah.
I think that would be equally as entertaining. So if you were going to take the ball up.
I don't know why you went outside of the house. It'd be like giving the keys to you on this program.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, it's bad enough when I don't have the keys.
Jaden Reed's targets week by week, guys. One last week, six the previous. 3, 2, 6, 3, 4, 6, 6, 8, 6, 2, 6. Some of those games, Jordan Love not under center. We know earlier in the year, obviously, he was injured and Malik Willis was handling the quarterbacking duties. Do those numbers seem right? I think he's averaging like 4.5 targets per game. Chew, when you think about guys who have handled that position, if you want to limit him to the slot, that's fine. Does that seem about right distribution for Jaden Reed, or does it feel low to you?
Some of it feels low. Some of it feels right on.
So you think you should be getting what, 6 per game?
I think if that's your guy,
8 per game. What do you think ideally?
I mean, I'll go back to Antonio Freeman. Free probably got 10 targets every game. You know, he's your horse, so you ride your horse. Jaden Reed's not a horse.
The Packers have also had problems with offensive plays. They just haven't run enough. And if you're as balanced as they are, those targets start to shrink. So what would be in a more conventional offense, or one we're used to with Aaron Rodgers, that's throwing 35 plus
to
times
Devontae?
A game. Yeah. So like those
Devontae's
numbers all shrink.
10 or 12. No, I agree. But why do they shrink? Because your defense can't get off the damn field.
You nailed it. And then the Packers generally score pretty efficiently when they do score.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm just saying there's better teams than the Packers out there right now. There's better teams.
And we're talking specifically about the offense. Is that what you're talking about? There are better offenses out there right now in the NFC than the Packers?
Most times when you go into the playoffs, the better team wins.
Really?
Right? Like I said it last week. I said, can the Packers beat Detroit? Yes. Can they beat Yes. Can they beat Philly? Yes. Can they beat KC? Yes. Can they beat the Ravens? Yes. They can't do it 3 weeks in a row on the road.
I'm going to pull up some explosive play rates for the NFL. I'm going to pull them up during the break. Because it feels to me, tell me if I'm wrong, guys, it feels to me, watching the Packers this season, Jaden Reed is your explosive play threat. And I feel like the Packers, I could be wrong on this, this is just my gut, I haven't pulled up the stats yet. I feel like the Packers are one of the best teams in the league. Maybe not the best, but I believe they are probably top 5, top 10 for sure in explosive plays on offense. And if you can get that production from other guys, if you can get those plays from other guys, great. And then Matt LaFleur has to do the brilliant coaching that he has been doing of telling guys, Chew, you've mentioned this before when it comes to Holmgren, I couldn't get you today, but I'll get you next time. And as long as he keeps doing that with the wide receiving core and with the pass catchers and nobody gets disgruntled, I agree that I'd like to see Jaden Reed be getting more targets with this offense. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you could argue, well, it is broke. They lost to the Lions. Sure, but they're still one of the best teams in the NFC. And I think we knew going into the season that one of the tougher things for Matt LaFleur to do was figure out how to distribute the ball amongst all of those pass catchers. So I'm a little bit intrigued by the Jaden Reed thing. I would like to see him get more targets. I would like to see him being used more in the game plan. I think he's a difference maker. But I also am inclined to believe Matt LaFleur's scheme and what he's putting together, knowing that on any given day, any one of these guys could pop and have a game. We're going to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm going to look up those explosive play rates and see where the Packers rank. And we will be right back after this. First, let me tell you guys about my friends over at Quintessa Aesthetic Center. Are you looking for a holiday gift for somebody that is hard to shop for? Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your mother. Maybe it's your mother-in-law. Quintessa Aesthetic Center, guys, offers everything that the woman in your life will love. And you can also do the Quintessa Aesthetic Center gift cards for yourself. Here's why. For every $100 gift card that you buy right now, you will get a $20 bonus card. Maybe you buy the $100 gift card for your wife or your mother or your mother-in-law or your sister, and then you keep the $20 gift card for yourself. And you go check out Quintessa Aesthetic Center and see what they have to offer. Tons of stuff available on their website that you can check out. But this is the time of year, guys, when everybody gets stressed because of the hustle and the bustle. So being pampered helps you feel confident, helps you feel refreshed, helps you feel relaxed when everything else is threatening to unravel you. Visit myquintessa.com today to check out that gift card offer. $100 gift cards, and you'll get a $20 gift card free. And tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It started with a whisper. And then she met my lips.
Want to take you behind the curtain a little bit here, folks. Behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz style. Inside baseball, as they say in the sports space. We're having our production meeting this morning, and Joshy says, oh, and don't forget, we've got the conversation about the greatest sauce known to man. And Chewy says, what is? Joshy and I look at each other and go, huh? And Chewy says, what is the greatest sauce known to man? I said, stop right there. We'll talk about it on the air. Chew, do you not remember sending us a text message at 8:20 p.m.? Now, I believe that's central. So 9:20 p.m. on Saturday night saying, you want to talk about the greatest sauce known to man? McDonald's sweet and sour sauce. I don't want to hear any discussion about it. I'm in a panel of eight people. Everyone here says it's the best.
Do you agree?
100%.
It is the best.
You don't even remember sending that to us.
No. I don't know why I said that either. I don't know what I was eating Saturday night.
I would envision it was chicken nuggets. Saturday
night. Chicken tenders, maybe? Yeah. Do you have some tendies?
No, Angie's one of those people that, you know, when you go to a fast food place and you have the leftover ketchup and you have the leftover barbecue sauce, she puts that all in the fridge. Basically
me
for me to throw away after about a year, right? And there just happened to be some sweet and sour sauce. And it is, it's the GOAT. I think it's the GOAT.
I agree.
Is it specifically McDonald's sweet and sour sauce? 100%.
Knockoffs are terrible. The Burger King one, the other places that try to do them. Even the Chick-fil-A Polynesian sauce, it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine, to quote Gabe Neitzel. But it is not the GOAT, which is the sweet and sour sauce from McDonald's.
Now, another great one, which just doesn't add up. When you go to a Chinese restaurant and they give you the hot mustard in the little canister, does not match up with what they put in the packet
100%.
For you to go when to go.
Totally
and I don't
agree.
Know why they do that, because that is another outstanding sauce.
So speaking of, Joshy, you have a contender for the greatest sauce of all time, which is similar to the hot mustard from the Chinese place.
I think a Yum Yum sauce is as elite as it comes. It's usually reserved mostly for hibachi, but I think it needs to branch out, and I think we need to bring it into other other things more often. Like any form of chicken, it's perfect for.
I think that's a great suggestion.
It's also not far from the Chick-fil-A sauce either.
It's like a mayonnaise base, right?
Yeah.
We've got a bottle of Yum Yum sauce in our refrigerator because Dario loves it so much that he went and bought a bottle.
Yum Yum, I've never heard of it.
I mean, how great are you? How confident are you in your product that you don't even come up with a name? Mm-hmm. You just call it Yum Yum sauce. Why did you call it Yum Yum? Well, because it's yummy. It's yummy.
It's mayo, ketchup, vinegar, garlic, sugar, paprika, and a little bit of water.
See, I don't want to know what's in the sauces. I just want to enjoy the sauces.
I was to say, I bet if you looked up what's in your sweet and sour, it would be even worse.
You'd enjoy it a little less.
where do you guys put A1?
Nowhere.
A1's legit.
I like an A1.
What if?
Keep it away from
A1
me.
A1 is outstanding.
No need for it.
Why?
It's just
why the steak should stand alone?
I don't think it's that
the steak
special
doesn't always stand alone.
Well, that seems like a skill issue.
No, 100% shoe. Because if you go to a diner and you get steak and eggs, you know you're not getting carnivore-esque steak, right?
Yes.
You know you're getting a
steak there anyways?
I love a steak and eggs. So that's when the A1 sauce chew really comes in clutch.
Yes.
Right? Diner, breakfast, throw a little hot sauce on there as well, mix up the two. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't look pretty. Right? Because you got the red, and you got the brown, and you got the egg. And it's not a pretty picture, but it is delicious.
I've never once in my life gone for the steak and eggs. I don't think I've ever ordered it.
Speaking of steak, there was an accident this weekend. They got a little out of control, and they burnt my house. So I had to paint part of the outside of the house.
When you say they.
Happens.
It feels like a me thing. Do you mean me?
I guess, but I'm the only one that cooks around here, so I should get a pass.
Mm.
Instead of getting yelled at because the side of the house was charcoal black.
They
had to paint over it.
Meaning me. I love that. I'm going to start using that more often. What happened to the bumper of your car? Oh, they backed into a pole. Jen Gabe and Chewy rolls on right after this.